Radio 1 remind you that on July 31st, voters in the 10-county Atlanta Metro will make a historic choice on transportation. Radio 1 is getting you educated on the transportation bill. So right now, we're stopping the music to talk to the supporters of the transportation bill, like Mayor Kasim Reed, as well as those who oppose, like Senator Vincent Ford. Plus, we'll be taking your calls so you can speak your mind as well. And now, here's your moderator for this debate, Denise Dunbar.
Denise Dunbar, the news director and community service director for the Radio 1 stations here in Atlanta. And you know it, for the past few days, the talk about this T-SPLOST tax referendum has just been heating up. It's been growing and growing. So the staff and personalities here have been getting a lot of tweets, emails, postings about this referendum. So we're going to stop the music right now, and we're going to address some very important questions, because people want to know, what is this T-SPLOST? What is it going to mean? How much is it going to cost the average taxpayer? And exactly what are we going to get out of this? How much bang for the buck? So to get some answers, we've invited a key supporter, Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed, and opposer, State Senator Vincent Ford. We're going to get all the information we need about the T-SPLOST transportation referendum. Now, the mayor is running late. I've had a phone call. He's on his way, but he hasn't made it yet. But Senator Vincent Ford is here with us. So we're going to start with you, Senator.
Sure.
Opening statements.
Well, first of all, let me thank you and your stations for doing this and helping to educate the public. The T-SPLOST tax is a bad deal. It's a bad deal for Atlantans. It's a bad deal for the region. It's a bad deal because sales tax is the most regressive tax. Here in the city of Atlanta, we pay a water sales tax, 1%. We pay an education SPLOST, and we also pay a MARTA tax. So we pay 3 pennies. We have one of the highest, right now, we have one of the highest taxes in the country, sales tax in full in Atlanta. This will bring it up to 9%. Grandmama, when she go get them groceries and that over-the-counter medicine, she's going to be paying an extra 1%.
You're talking 9 cents for every dollar spent.
9 cents. It'll be one of the highest, if not the highest in the region, and one of the highest in the country. And at the same time, the good old boys at the state capitol, they're lobbyists. Work to get an exemption on motor fuel. So the trucking firms, the mining companies, all those companies got an exemption. So grandmama got to pay her 1%. They are exempted. So it's a bad deal. Sales taxes are regressive. It's paid not based on your income. That is, if you're a billionaire or you're a senior citizen on a fixed income, you pay the same rate. That's not fair. We need to do this another way. Those are just two. There are myriad number of reasons why this is a bad deal for Atlantans, bad deal for Fulton County, bad deal for DeKalb County, and I believe a bad deal for the region.
Okay. All right. To give some background on this, we're voting on this now because of legislation that was passed by the state legislature in 2010, the
That's
Transportation
right. mm-hmm.
Investment Act.
Right.
It was supposed to, from what I understand, to relieve the traffic madness. Representatives from 10 counties came together to come up with this 157 projects list. I was hoping the mayor would be here because I wanted to get some information more on who these men are, men and women, mm-hmm. who make up the projects list. Here's the mayor with us right now. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, Mayor. And we're just doing opening statements, so we'll give you time for opening statements.
Well, first, I want to thank you for having me. With regard to my opening statement, I think my opening statement really was made yesterday on the front page of the Metro section of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Well, they did a politifact of a statement that I made that since 2007, our region and our state had lost 200,000 jobs, and that we have to have a path that will allow us to compete effectively to gain jobs again so that we can significantly reduce unemployment and underemployment in our community, and investing $8.5 billion in our community over a 10-year period of time is a very effective means for doing that, and really is consistent with the efforts by the President of the United States to focus on investing in roads, bridges, transit systems across the United States. Our folks are hurting. And as someone who creates jobs and as someone who recruits businesses almost every day to the city of Atlanta and the region, I know that we have to have an answer to the unemployment crisis that is facing our community. And this is a part of it. Also in our community, we have seen a significant drop in our home values. And so if you were to place a for sale sign in your front yard right now, you'd have a very tough time selling your home. And you would probably sell it at break even or loss. It's not the way it's been in our region for a very long time. You were always able to do that. Folks are also tethered to their jobs, meaning right now, because there are not jobs available, you literally go to work every single day on pins and needles.
I think they had openings for 500 to 1,000 reservation agents, for example, at Delta Airlines. They had more than 25,000 people seek those jobs within a week. So I think that that speaks to where we are right now. And we have to be in the future business in this region. We are a region of 5.5 million people. We got here 10 years faster than we ever planned on getting here. And so we're really dealing with all of the success that we have had now that we've gone into the teeth of this recession.
Okay, it's interesting that you make a connection between traffic and business growth. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But right now, okay, we're getting into the conversation about the actual Transportation Investment Act that was passed in 2010. And from what I understand, representatives from 10 counties came together to make this project's list. So we've been having some phone calls about who make up this group that made up the projects.
Sure. I mean, you're having phone calls about it. It was 21 individuals, Democrats and Republicans. I was on the round table. The chief executive officer of DeKalb County was on the round table. The chairman of Fulton County was on the round table. The chairman of Rockdale County was on the round table. So it was 21 elected officials across the 10 county area.
Senator, do you have what do you think about the creators of this list?
Well, I don't think they did as good a job as they could have done. I'm very concerned. There are major flaws in the list. One is, for example, South DeKalb gets a bus line. On the list, it's called soft rail. I asked somebody, what soft rail mean? They say bus. I said, a bus? And Emory's getting a hard rail line? We don't think that's fair. We appreciate the efforts of the mayor to put that money in for that soft rail line. But the fact of the matter is, initially it was what? It was a hard rail line. South DeKalb has paid into the pot for 40 years. They ought to have a hard rail line. And that's one of the major flaws. We can argue yay or nay about some of the projects, but with that kind of fundamental flawed project in the on the list, there are a lot of people in South DeKalb that are saying, you know, thank you for the money in there, but we really need what we've asked for over these many, many years. So that project list has that major flaw. And I think the mayor tried the best he could. And I just think that it's a flawed list.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I think everybody agrees that we have got to do something about this traffic mess. But I've been hearing complaints. There's been criticisms about, is this the right thing? Will it work? I heard the other day that it would cut traffic commute by 2 minutes. Is that you, Senator, or someone who said it would cut traffic?
The study shows.
Hold on. If we're going to have a fair debate, let's have a fair debate now.
It was me. And
his time ran out. And now I deserve equal time.
You just had
a conversation about something that I was directly involved in. Now, the senator is talking about the DeKalb rail line. I put the $225 million in for DeKalb. The total amount of money is $6.14 billion. As we sit here today, DeKalb's share is $1 billion. If we had put in the other $225 million at that time, then the total amount for DeKalb would have eclipsed every other county. And then it would have been harder to have passed the referendum, because then the argument would have been that none of the counties got an appropriate or equal share. Now, I've made the commitment to work with the leadership in DeKalb to secure the other $225 million because they deserve the rail. And I happen to be the person most well-positioned, certainly of the folks that are having this conversation, to get the additional $225 million for the full and complete build-out. DeKalb County's items should be placed top on the list, and we should absolutely deliver for DeKalb. But that doesn't mean that we should eliminate $8.5 billion for everybody else.
Okay, but we were talking about also about the efficiency of this referendum plan, because I've heard some facts that it would only shave the commute by 2 minutes.
And I think that's something that I've said. It's good research. It's really not 2 minutes. It's It's 1 minute and 15 seconds on an average round trip. Transportation Institute out of Texas did that research. It was reported in the AJC. I forwarded that information on to the mayor and to other folk. The fact is, we're buying a pig in a poke. We're being told that we need to pay all this money in sales tax. And at the same time, it's not going to decrease congestion. It's not fair. And it's not something that we ought to invest in. We ought to defeat this. And I think we will on July 31st. That's my hope. Defeat it on July 31st. There, you know, anytime you hear a politician or a big businessmen say that the sky is falling and if we don't do it now, it'll never get done. You need to hold on to your wallet. The fact of the matter is we need to hold off on this, defeat on July 31st, and do the right thing. Bring everybody to the table and get it done then.
Okay.
The 2 minutes is actually quite a lot. First of all, the 2 minute number that the senator is using is deeply flawed research. And what they don't say is how your commute is going to grow if we do nothing right now. So if we don't do anything and continue to add population the way we're adding population, and the region grows and grows and grows, what you're going to find is that your time in traffic is going to grow and grow and grow. So the folks who say that the reduction in time isn't enough are making an argument that isn't supported by any facts. We've got a $40 to $50 billion construction backlog. The only thing that's going to happen to your life is that you're going to spend more and more time in your automobile and away from your families. And if we don't bend the curve to start reducing traffic while we add population, your commute times are going to be worse and worse. They're already among the five worst in the United States of America in terms of our commute times. So the folks on the other side's remedy is to do nothing. And then when you hear this silly notion that they advance, that we can easily come back and do that, that's just not borne out by the facts. The fact of the matter is, do you really believe that during a referendum in 2 years from now, with every single constitutional officer on the ballot, that they're going to put a sales tax referendum up at the exact same time? So that means that the next time we would vote for this is 4 years. And then the next time that we would make progress would be 2 years after that in terms of real construction. So that's a 12-year wait while we deal with record unemployment and businesses that aren't locating to the city of Atlanta and to the region.
All right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to a T-Splosta, a very important conversation between Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed, a key supporter of this referendum, and Senator Vincent Ford, who's against it. We're talking about this tax and what it will mean to you. If you have a question and you'd like to get in on this conversation, give us a call at 404-741-1075. Do we have a call?
Actually, we have a comment from Ms. War from Facebook. And she wrote, "I was totally against it, but the marketing tactics have been brutal. Does it take that for either side to share their opinion and get their point across?"
Yeah, that's a pretty good. I've heard that before, because from what I understand, the campaign for this T-Splosta is what? How much money is being spent to promote it?
The numbers I've heard are anywhere from $6 million to $8
million. To promote it, to market it,
to get this done. I mean, you know, they have $8 million. We have $800. We're doing pretty good. I think we're going to win. I hope we win. If we don't, the people have spoken. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we don't have a lot of money. We don't have $8 million. But what we do have is the righteousness of our cause. We're right. I think they're wrong. We're going to send a message to let the folk know that they cannot. I mean, them raising money even as we speak.
This is a part of the process. They're raising money. People have to communicate to voters. This is a very competitive vote about an important issue facing the region. Senator Ford is standing shoulder to shoulder with the Tea Party. That's what Senator Ford is doing. He's standing shoulder to shoulder with the Tea Party, an organization that wakes up every single day trying to defeat the president of the United States. That's who he is standing shoulder to shoulder with, questioning our motives. The Tea Party. The Tea Party is the primary advocate in this election. And that's fine. That's his business. But don't stand here and have any conversation with any holier than thou tone.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is we have a responsibility every single day to try to attract business to this region for black people and white people and brown people and Asian people. The fact of the matter is people are walking away from us because of our traffic and congestion issues. Folks went out to raise money because we're just trying to communicate with voters. That's what this is about. So if we want to get into questioning people's motives, we can do that. Or we can have a conversation about people that are simply trying to pass a referendum to get people out of traffic. The amount of money that was raised is consistent with what other communities have done when they've had major referenda. That is the way that you have these conversations. So I respect the folks on the other side. That's just fine. But what I'm not going to do is to sit and act like they have some holier than thou on the side of the righteous cause, because my cause is righteous, too. And that's to provide jobs for folks in the city of Atlanta, which is why since January at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport alone, we've hired 1,500 employees, giving people jobs. That's why we spent more than $900 million with women and minority and small businesses. Ask their side how much money they've spent with women and minority businesses. Not a dime.
Let me respond. We can have a conversation
on the merits.
Okay, let me respond. If we want to have that conversation, I'm not impugning anyone's motives, certainly not the mayor's motives. I didn't.
Let me
respond, because he went on quite a bit with this. If we want to have that conversation about who your allies are, I'll stand with the Tea Party one time on one day. But the fact of the matter is, you got Nathan Deal standing with the mayor. The mayor standing with Nathan Deal.
That's right.
He has done everything in his congressional career and as governor to keep black people from voting, signing every piece of legislation to get black people from voting. And now Nathan Deal want us to vote for it. I mean, we can have this conversation.
The
Chamber of Commerce, the most reactionary force in American culture, called one of the vice presidents of the chamber called Obama a socialist. And that's who the other side is standing with. I'll stand with the Tea Party one day and one time, but I'm not going to allow anyone to impugn
my character. Please get back to the issues.
Let's go.
We are voting. It's decision time for this transportation referendum. This referendum is costly. It's going to affect us.
Yes.
But at the same time, we want to do what's best for our communities, what's best for economic growth. If you're listening to me, the special local option sales tax, it's going to raise about $7 billion in 10 years. And I've had a lot of questions about
$8.5 billion.
A lot of questions about, well, how much is it going to really cost me, the average taxpayer? Well, there's a study by Georgia State University. Households of $40,000, you're going to pay $247 each year. Households of $50,000 will pay $286 a year. Households of $70,000 will pay $439. So this is going to cost. So we need to stick to the issues so we can see if we need to vote for this or not. This is no plaything for us middle class people. We don't have this kind of money to spend.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the issues. Let's talk about, is this the right answer for us right now?
Well,
is there a plan?
Having 14% unemployment in the African-American community is going to cost, too. That cost. The amount of time spending 60 hours a week in a car costs. It costs you in terms of the amount of money you spend on fuel, the amount of time you spend with your families. Having a depressed real estate market where we've lost 80,000 construction jobs, there happen to be a lot of African-Americans employed in the construction business, costs. This is a measure that's consistent with what the President of the United States has said. You have seen him repeatedly discuss the importance of infrastructure, of roads, bridges, and construction projects. This is very similar to that. The fact of the matter is infrastructure, road building, and transit systems produce verifiable employment across the board. We sit in this room today with unemployment at about 8.5%, which means that it is significantly higher among those individuals in our own community. Folks on the other side offer no realistic alternative that can be achieved in less than 5 years, because this referendum is not going to be put up for a ballot in 24 months. This is an opportunity to reduce traffic and to create jobs.
Well, something so important. Why can't we
and
come
let's,
back
let's
to
talk
the
about
table?
The jobs. Let's it would be irresponsible for us to say we're going to take our marbles and go home if we lose. If it passes, so be it. I'll accept that. If it loses, it would be irresponsible for people to say, I'm going to take my marbles, go home, game over. But on the jobs issue, the jobs issue.
This is very critical.
Yes, ma'am.
Transportation jobs. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, why can't we come back to the table and find something that does?
We're not saying we won't come back to the table. We're just talking about the realistic time frame. Denise, you're a serious woman. During a statewide election, do you believe that the General Assembly is going to put in 24 months on a statewide election a sales tax on the ballot? I'm here to share with you that they are not. It took us 3 years to get this on a ballot in an off year. That's why it's on the ballot on an off year. So the next off year election is 4 years away. In the meantime, we've lost 200,000 jobs, and it could be between 2018 and 2020 until we grow the economy back to put those people back to work. At the exact same time, businesses that used to choose the city of Atlanta and the metropolitan region very easily are now selecting other cities that don't have our congestion issues. So we're hurting our own people in two specific ways. We're hurting you through your quality of life that you have sitting in traffic. And we're hurting you in terms of you having a dynamic economy that allows you to have multiple job opportunities the way that you used to have.
Let me respond to it, because this jobs issue is very important. It's related to minority contractors. The mayor, City of Atlanta, Fulton, DeKalb County have great minority business programs. But the fact of the matter is 85% of this money is going to be going through the state. The state DOT has a, how can I say, sordid history in giving business to African-American companies. They did 2.4% of business with African-American companies in a disparity study that the DOT commission, 2.4% with federally funded contracts, 1.1% with state funded contracts. Why is this so important? Guess who hires more African-Americans and people of color than any other kind of business? African-American businesses. The fact is, you have a DOT, you have a Nathan Deal, and you have a Greta who are consistently discriminatory against African-American businesses. If it ain't in writing, it ain't. If it ain't in writing, it's not going to happen. We need, next time around, if this fails on Tuesday, what we need to do is incorporate in the TIA law a minority business program. We did it in 1968 when we defeated the first MARTA referendum. 4 years later, 4 years later in 1972, we came back. And guess what we got in the MARTA referendum? A minority business program, a minority hiring program. 15-cent fare, and the Bankhead Station. We didn't get those things just because somebody liked us. We got them because we stuck together in 1968, defeated the MARTA referendum, and then we did what? We passed it in 1972. We did it the right way. We came back to the table. We included everyone in the process, and it worked, and it's working today.
Well, what can we do to include more? Are there any guarantees for
there are $6.14 billion of spend that's going directly to these governments across 10 counties. DeKalb County has a robust minority and business program, women in business program. Fulton, which is receiving nearly $1 billion, has a minority women in business program. The Atlanta Beltline has a robust minority and women in business program, small business initiative. The city of Atlanta has the best minority and women business program in the state of Georgia and is among the best in the United States of America. So of the $6.14 billion in DeKalb, which is receiving $1 billion. So among the $6.14 billion, you have more than $2 billion being spent in counties and governments with robust minority and women business programs. So the notion that African-American businesses and women businesses and small businesses and Latino businesses are not going to benefit is not borne out by the facts. The city of Atlanta does a better job than everybody else. We will be a significant beneficiary of this effort. During the time that I've been mayor, we've spent more than 35% of every dollar that we've allocated with women and minority businesses, better than any comparably sized city in the United States of America.
Okay, since we're on the issue of minorities, I did have a Twitter question from Mark in College Park, and he wants to know, how will this referendum, how will it improve traffic in College Park, Riverdale, and all the areas south of I-20?
It's going to improve traffic in areas south of I-20 because $600 million is going to be invested in MARTA. $600 million, MARTA is the system that anchors the area, the communities south of the downtown community. MARTA is the area that connects those. MARTA is going to receive the most significant investment than it has in more than 15 years, $600 million. Those dollars are going to be spent with minority women and small businesses, and they're going to improve service in those areas and give us the ability to bend the curve on cost.
Okay,
that's an absolutely great question.
Are you satisfied with what's going to happen?
Absolutely great question. Absolutely great question. The fact of the matter is, and you can ask Beverly Scott, manager of MARTA, not one bus route is going to be restored if this passes for MARTA. Not one bus route is going to be restored. No, not one rail station except the one in Emory is going to be built. The people that I serve, my district goes from Buckhead to down to Union City. The fact of the matter is the people that I serve are not going to get the the buses that have been cut. You know, MARTA's a bare bone system, just about a bare bone system at this point. So I just beg to disagree with the notion
and
that MARTA is going to benefit from this.
And I beg
the
to
constituents
disagree.
That I serve.
I think you should call Dr. Scott, because mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is in this system and in this transportation referendum is funding for bus service for Clayton County. When Clayton County had bus service, MARTA was the operator of the Clayton County system. Right now, we've got more than 125,000 people in Clayton County who can't even take a bus to the major business districts. They do not have bus service as we speak. Now, the last time I checked, Clayton County was below I-20. Clayton County has been without bus service now for years. So that means working folk, African-American folk, white folk, brown folk, Asian folks who choose to live in Clayton County do not have a public transit option. Y'all, that's 1960s, 1970s stuff. That's not 2010, 2012, 2015 stuff. Folks who live in Clayton County ought to be able to have connectivity to the other nine counties so that you can live in Clayton County and work anywhere else, just like everybody else. The senator just said on this radio that folks below I-20 were not going to benefit. Direct bus service for Clayton is what the chairman of Clayton County, who voted for this referendum, Eldrin Bell, supports.
What I'd like to do is, if in fact this does not pass on Tuesday, what I'd like to do is offer the mayor an opportunity to work with me to get Clayton County into the MARTA system. Have a the thing we need to have in Clayton County is a referendum on Clayton County paying the 1% for coming into MARTA. 1972, they rejected it. The county has changed. I think you'd have a different outcome. But that's the solution, bringing Clayton County into the MARTA system, paying the 1% that Fulton DeKalb is paying.
But Denise, that wasn't your question. You said whether communities below I-20 was going to benefit. There's a community with more than 125,000 wonderful people who don't have connection to the major job centers of the region. $600 million invested in MARTA. Folks say that's nothing. That happens to be the biggest investment in MARTA mm-hmm. that didn't come from the federal government in more than 20 years.
And what I'm saying is there's a solution for the Clayton County. We can go into all the discussion about why they lost service and all that, but the solution is to bring them into the MARTA system, 1 cent referendum. And if this fails on Tuesday, I think that's the best option for Clayton County.
And of course, we want to encourage everyone. This is a very important vote, the T-SPOS vote, this Tuesday, July 31st. If you haven't had a chance, I want to remind you, you can go to the website, metroatlantatransportationvote.org. You can see the maps and models of all the projects, 157, and you can find out, do the research, because it's going to cost you, and you want to make sure that you're going to get the bang for the buck. You need to find out exactly where your money will be spent because, of course, we are interested in the economic growth of our region, but we're also interested in getting the fairest way possible. Mayor Adva got some emails, too, about the Beltline in particular. A lot of people want to know why this transportation initiative has a lot of economic development projects, and the Beltline in particular.
Because if you look around the United States of America, every community that has decided to invest in light rail so that their citizens can move throughout the city more conveniently have had billions of dollars in investment that followed. If you look at Charlotte, if you look at Seattle, if you look at Portland, Oregon, all of them have built light rail systems, and everywhere they have built it, you've had significant development come up around it. The other thing, if you go a couple blocks out of this building and look at the downtown skyline, the only vertical construction that's going on are for apartments because people are moving into the city. To the extent that you can live downtown and not use your car, those are more cars that are taken off the street so that when people drive into Atlanta during the day, they can get in and out in a more convenient fashion. Folks forget that during the day, Atlanta's population goes from 500,000 to 1 million. The challenge with MARTA is when you get off of a MARTA stop, frequently you still have more than a mile to go to get to your final destination. And what the Atlanta Beltline will do is to reduce that mile walk to a 3-block, 4-block, or 5-block walk like you have in major urban cities. It's also important to note that the Atlanta Beltline can be built out in 7 years. So this is something that people will be able to see, touch, and feel, and have changed their lives in a rapid fashion. Now, I'm here to tell you, the train has left the station for everybody who's under 40 regarding transit. You all read and see every day how young people are walking away from cars. Young people, black and white, are using transit more. They're using bicycles more, and they're moving into places where they can walk around more easily. That's the future, you all. If young people stop believing that Atlanta is a cool, vibrant, attractive, hip place to live, all of us folks who are over 40 can forget about it. Because the reason that we have the fourth largest amount of Fortune 500 businesses in this region is because we have talented, bright young people to take the jobs of these businesses.
I think it's important, and I need to respond to that because, you know, the Beltline, I support it, you know, in concept. But the fact of the matter is it's not a transportation project in the near term. It's a park, an affordable housing project, economic development, which is fine. But the fact is, and this is one thing I had to tell the Beltline folk when they came out to the community and started talking about how the Beltline was going to have light rail coming in a few years. And I said, are you sure about that? And they're telling me it's a 15 to 20 year deal. If that's the case, this is a 10-year tax. You know, I mean,
there's
the Beltline. The Beltline.
7-year project.
The Beltline. The project is on the referendum, and I know you believe that, but just because you say it doesn't mean it is true.
With 7-year funding.
It doesn't mean it is true.
And just because you assert it is 15 years doesn't mean it is true.
Okay, gentlemen.
And there are more facts that say it's 7.
No, but you interrupted me. I didn't interrupt the mayor.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
I did not interrupt the mayor. I let him say whatever he wanted to say.
Okay, but let me ask one question for both of you because we got to wrap up in a few minutes. It's obvious that this issue is dividing our region. We've got blacks on both sides. We've got conservatives on both sides. We've got different people from all walks of life on both sides. Why can't we just take a little more time and put it back on the table and reevaluate this and come up with another plan? Something that we've all had time to put input in and evaluate it and make sure that it's something that will help all of us.
There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Whatever happens on Tuesday, we're going to have to live together, work together, and reason together on these issues. If it passes, I'm going to accept the reality, although I'm not going to disengage. You know, there are more cards to play. But the fact is, if it fails, I'm willing to go back to the table. Reasonable people have to understand that the process cannot end when you lose or when you win.
The process is a process.
Let me just say, 6 years is not a little more time, though. And 4 years isn't a little more time. That will mean that our region and our folks will be hurting for 10 years. So there's no path that anybody's put on the table that's less than 4 years. And I don't think that that's a little more time.
one of our listeners, and we're going to have to wrap up really, really quickly, real soon. But one of our listeners says, if the bill passes in 10 years after the tax is over, how will the maintenance be funded?
The maintenance is going to be funded because the maintenance costs were contemplated in the overall project cost.
So it's part of
the $8.5 billion. And there will be some of those burdens that will be borne by the state, just like every state in the United States of America that has passed a referendum that is funded by sales tax has to be responsible for their roads. What we know is that the state of Georgia doesn't have enough money to fund our infrastructure improvements because the budget of the state has shrunk by more than $2 billion since the year 2007. Folks need to remember that government is the collective of us. This is an $8.5 billion problem. Nobody can solve it alone. But every time Atlanta faced a decision point like this, be it MARTA, be it Hartsfield-Jackson Airport with Mayor Maynard Jackson, be it Georgia 400 with Ambassador Andrew Young, be it the Centennial Olympic Games with Billy Payne and Ambassador Andrew Young, we bet on the future. And we've got to stay in the future business.
Okay, we've
and
got to
19,
wrap up.
You know, and the
we've got to wrap up.
And
look,
yeah, and I'm glad for that. But
you can include that in your closing.
In 1968.
We've got to wrap up. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Okay, so Senator, you're going. Yeah. So let's start with you. You have 60 minutes to give your closing remarks.
60
Woo,
minutes.
60 seconds.
All right.
I'm going to
get
ready to take up.
60 seconds.
The fact,
yeah.
Tell us why people should vote no.
Because history demands that we stand up and stick together. 1968, we beat the first MARTA referendum, African-American Civil Rights community and people of goodwill stuck together, and we defeated it that time. And it passed in 1972. We have a MARTA system in 1920. A lot of people don't know there was a school bond referendum. African Americans said, no, we're not going to vote for a school bond referendum that doesn't include schools for black people. And guess what happened? We defeated it and got Booker T. Washington, the first black high school in the city. The fact of the matter is, the sky's not falling. This process is worse than deeply flawed. We ought to stick together on July 31st, vote this down, go back to the table, do the right thing by the people of Atlanta, the people of DeKalb, and the people of the state of Georgia. So history demands that we turn this option down and look for new solutions. And I'm looking forward to doing that with the mayor after Tuesday.
Okay. And Mayor, tell us why people should vote yes on July 31st.
Again and again, the people who have been on the right side of history are standing with the passage of this referendum. There are few people in the United States of America who've done more for fairness and equity and inclusion than Ambassador Andrew Young. He is for this referendum. He's also a Presidential Medal of Freedom winner. Congressman John Lewis is for this referendum. Reverend Joseph E. Lowry is for this referendum. Now, these are the leaders who stood on the front lines of freedom for us. They believe that this process has been fair, has been open and transparent, and they believe that it's the right thing to do for our future. You see, the sky is falling for that person who's suffering from 10% unemployment or 11% unemployment in the African-American community. The sky is falling for that mom who's sitting at her job on pins and needles, worried about losing her job. We've got to create a dynamic economy again. We've got to grow this economy, and we've got to create jobs. And $8.5 billion will help us do that and get you home a little faster.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us and helping us to understand this transportation referendum. And now it is time for you to do your part on July 31st. This has been a Radio 1 conversation. So do your part, and we'll get back to regular programming.